Where'd you have to find it?
Somebody at work gave it to me.
I'll have to look at that, and maybe we'll give it to the graduate student.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems like I've seen this before. I can take and read it all the time.
I think you're the one you're thinking of,
from
Greg Pass, the one that we had on all the
computer terminals. Oh, God, no. This is from years ago. They did this one, I think it was.
So you have a runoff of photocopy, you can have
okay.
I can work on this too.
Yeah. What I'd like to do then is Friday we got our grammar test on chapter 17 and 20. So we want to start reviewing that. But if we'll finish this chapter, lesson 22, at least as far as we only have to talk about the duo here. And we'll just finish that and then we'll start reviewing today and review a couple of chapters today and then tomorrow and the next day. We'll see how long it takes. But I want to, almost tempted to maybe do the first couple of these exercises here, five of these oral ones first, so that we don't review too soon done before you take the test. So let's see how it works out here. But we are talking about in lesson 22, first the imperfect, the paradigm for the imperfect, and we were looking at the meaning of the imperfect in section 91, and basically meaning either future or habitual or customary action, past, present, or future, or in some instances, a modal type of translation, which often will get either a subjunctive or optative type of an idea, which is conditioned by the nature of the clauses with which it's associated. In other words, this type of translation is one that you will just take out of the blue and stick on there. It's something that's dictated by the context also, and not just your opinion of the context, but usually it's a very reliable factors that are, grammatical factors that are in the context, right? So it's not a matter of everybody getting it.
And of course, the imperfect is probably going to be the most frequently used form.
You're probably right.
Because
I don't think there's any doubt about it. Well, it's just because of the law consecutive. See, even in the historical narrative, the majority of your historical narrative in the Old Testament uses the imperfect, not the perfect, in the law consecutive form. So you're seeing more, even historical narratives talking about events that happened in the past is using the imperfect. So I would say there's no, there's any doubt about the fact that the imperfect is used more frequently than the perfect as far as the form is concerned. So, and it is the more difficult of two forms, so that's probably reasonable to expect more common. Okay.
Well, one question.
Yeah.
You didn't explain what is the idiom? Or he will write.
Oh, just repeating the same thing. In other words, as a matter of custom. In other words, the first two parentheses had a matter of custom. He writes as a matter of custom, he used to write as a matter of custom. Then he got lazy and said, he will write, I did it. So it means as a matter of custom. Just got tired of writing it out. I don't know what the Latin means. Does anybody know?
I
knew it wasn't. Yeah. You know, they use an ID abbreviation.
Who was putting up the ID?
Well, I need to say it. I would have known.
Okay. Well, now you know. Okay. Any other? Any other questions on this section 91? The verb is negated with all. Once in a while in poetry, you'll see all. That's a negation of a two. But we'll see all more definitely later on some of this one. Pretty imperative, specifically. Then, the dual. That's the last thing in this chapter. And there's really not too much to say about it. We've already been exposed to the dual, I think, way back there in one of the first chapters. But nouns denoting objects which naturally occur in pairs are frequently used in the dual form, which indicates that there must be a lot of things that occur in twos in nature, which there are. I just say that for the benefit of the Trinitarian. there's no triple in Hebrew, but there is a dual. Okay. No.
That's because the Holy Spirit was not yet given.
The Son was there. The Son was right there. Right? Okay. Now, the endings of the dual are ayim, which in construct becomes seriol, a, just like the im. In other words, the point is that in the construct, there's no distinction between dual and plural. So they're the same. They both, the construct plural and the construct dual forms are identical. Serial for the im, in other words, the im plurals. When suffixes are added to the dual, the resulting form is the same as that of the im plurals. So what's true of the construct is also true of the suffixes. When you put pronominal suffixes on a plural noun that is that was dual originally, it looks the same. In other words, my hand dual is still yadai, just exactly like it would have been if I had three of them or four of them, whatever. See? Okay. So the following is a list of the nouns most often encountered in the dual with a sampling of suffix forms. So it's just not a whole lot to consider, and that's nothing to worry about, really. That's the same thing with plural. So look at yad, there's the singular. Dual is yadayim, whereas the plural would be just yadim. So the dual is yadayim. And the construct is yaday, just exactly the same as it would have been for yadim. And with the suffixes, it's yadai, yadeka, yadayik, yadav, same thing as we had with the plural forms of the
reading. Reading it backwards and forwards is the same.
I know. That is kind of strange. I first wondered, what do you test for? You know, I was expecting too, and then it's Yada, first form, and then he goes to first. I don't know, must be a little aberration there or something in the mix of the English and the Hebrew. No other explanation I can come up with. Regal for foot becomes raglayan for the dual. Raglin would be the Raglin would be the plural, but Raglayan would be the dual. So
a little different than a regular sigma. Because we normally be Riglayan. You
know, well, yes, but remember, yes, that's right. It is a little bit. Yeah, it is different than the normal pattern.
No, it's a comma sign. It would be Raglayan.
Shawa, yeah. Shawa, comma, is a normal pattern. Riglayan. This one's unusual.
Is it just there, or is it?
I think it's. Sometimes I just track these down, try to deal with it. I find what the plural is. Maybe the plural is. Maybe the dual and the plural are different.
Yeah. Ozane down there. Remember the fourth one is odd the night one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what we've got in there. Yeah, do not buy him for weight or anything. Yeah, they do give the dual here. And the only question is, does the plural do the same thing? In other words, what my question is, it's unusual, but is it unusual only in the dual, or is it unusual in the plural also? So, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, know it's looking melon. Okay. Well, they do give the... Well, according to this, it looks like the plural's fine if you just read a line. And Chihuahua comments. Same pattern, but the dual is unusual. Okay, so.
And it's just that word.
Mm-hmm. See, like words like melon don't have a dual.
Right, but I mean, so. Because there's another word down here, oddly.
Right, and that follows down. So I guess you just have to learn that. In fact, the vocabulary gives you the dual form, which is a pretty good tip off that it's irregular. And then they just put "een" for the plural, which indicates it's regular. So, yeah, that's the situation there. Okay, so the construct is raglay, which is what you would expect for the ending, at least. You know, in other words, it's regular as far as the ending, very old, but we do have a different stem. And then going to the suffixes again, they give the forms there, raglay and ragleta, and so forth. Okay, we have... Motain, for loins, and they've got Mothnayim for the dual. So this again, all this probably isn't any regular pattern, but it's just particular all the way around.
Right, they don't find it. It's not common.
Yeah, apparently it doesn't occur in singular at all. So all you see is Mothnayim, the dual form. Probably don't even have a plural form. Don't have suffixes, never occurs a suffix. So. Here we have ayin, which is also the letter ayin, but I remember it maybe, but it means I. And ayinayim, you have a stem change there for the dual. And don't know if it's the same stem change the plural gets or not. I suspect it is probably ayinim in the plural. And ayine, the construct. And the ayine, right, we've had that before, but the ayine in the eyes of. So, and then A9, so forth, that's all regular once you know that. Ozen is for ear, and it's Oznaim, and Oznai, and Oznai, should be Kamus Khatuf.
Oh,
see?
Yeah,
no Nefeg. Yeah, no Nefeg, and Shua, following. So, both syllable. On your toes all the time. Kanaf means wing, so for birds at least, they have two wings. So airplanes have even more. I don't know if they use this for aircraft wings or not. I think they do for modern Hebrew. But Kanafayim, that's pretty regular. At least the stem changes is regular and so forth. Kanfei, now what's happened on that one, on the construct? It is regular. Now you have now. Except for that dual thing, you know. You've got serial, but the stem change is regular. Anybody describe the stem change from Kanafayim to Kanfei? Any brave ones here?
The comments. Oh. It goes to a
right.
First.
Now the comments will reduce to Shua according to the normal construct rule.
The first
Shua. And the first Shua. Rule of Shua. Right. Well, it's, yes. Well, actually, it would normally go to here. Right,
yeah.
I guess it is irregular. I was thinking it was regular. It's a nice rule of Shua now.
It's
a guttural. Yeah, if it was a guttural, then of course we'd get that. But this is a little bit irregular. Well, can't help me. It's irregular because you would expect this kind of thing from things that have gutturals in them. And you expect them from segulate plurals. Segulate plurals will do that oftentimes. Here we are, okay? So just take note of that.
Maybe it's because it's the penultimate stress of the dual.
Well, that might have an effect on it, but others don't do that, though, so that's the issue. Well, no, I guess that's all right. Shane, you say for teeth, and Shinayim, well, that doesn't really change Shinay. Okay, so that's what that's right. So the best thing to do on these is just learn them. You see, there aren't that many of them. So
you hardly have to really worry about coming up with a rule for them. Karen for horn, again, that's something normally comes in twos. So this one's got two different forms for it. You've got Karanayim and Karnayim. So you take, you know, the two texts we've seen above, this one does both. And Karnay is the construct form, and we've already looked at teeth. The idea of teeth, you might wonder why teeth dual. You know, why don't we, you know, we only got, I've got more than two teeth, which is upper and lower, yeah, the two rows of teeth. This is the idea. Okay, also following expressions of time and measurement. You got Yomayim for 2 days, Shinathayim for 2 years from Shana. You got Shibuayim for 2 weeks from Shibua. And Shibua, remember, is the word for seven. I think she had Shibi or something for seven. And so the idea of a week is seven days. Pa'amayim means twice, from pa'a meaning once. So you just take the word for once and put it in the dual and you get twice. Makes sense? Okay. Okay, Arvayim means two evenings from Erev. And this one's interesting. It's Okorayim means noon. Okorayim. And the question is, it doesn't mean two noons, it just means one noon. So they've got a word for a dual word for the idea of noon. And I suppose there can be all kinds of speculation on this. The only thing I've ever thought of, I've only tried to speculate once on it. And I haven't seen anything in print on this. It may be something you may, so I haven't checked it in case I answered anything. The only thought I had was the noon divides into two parts of the day. So it's kind of a midpoint between two parts of the day. But that may or may not be the reason. They may have some far more bizarre reason than that. It's coming up in a little while. Maybe there were two suns earlier before.
Binary stars.
Maybe the sun was a binary star. The other half became a supernova or something. Okay. Caused the collapse of
the
Earth. The Earth was racing wild. Yeah. Okay, and then so much for that. Amathayim is two cubits. From Amma, two cubits. Adjectives modifying the dual are found in the plural. So you don't have the dual ending on adjectives. So we mentioned that in the past and a long time ago, but just to bring it to your attention again. In other words, if you want to say two strong hands, you won't say Yadayim Chazakayim or and so forth. But it's, since Yad is feminine, it is Yadayim Chazako. And it's just a normal plural ending. Now, if the plural for Chazak, in other words, if this noun happened to be masculine, you get an im instead of an o, but it wouldn't be an ayin. In other words, just plural adjective endings, not dual adjective endings. Okay, quick look at the vocabulary here. Most of it we've already seen.
Questions?
Yeah, I'm still a little bit fuzzy on the difference between dual and plural. Is it strictly only these selective items that have pairs
right.
of things?
I don't know. I think in theory, anyway, if you want to talk about two horses, you could probably say two sides. But whether they do it or not, that's another question. In other words, this thing seems to be done primarily in things that occur in twos or in certain other special instances.
What if you had a sentence contextually where two men are riding along on obviously two horses?
Mm-hmm.
And then the next statement says, something like the stable boy took the horses into the stable. Would you use the dual or would you use the plural?
Well, that's what I'm questioning. I'm not certain on that. I'm inclined to say they used the plural, not the dual.
And how would you,
because horses don't always come in twos. No, they come in. What was that?
Well, you wouldn't really know, unless they supplied the valid point.
Right.
It's exactly the same.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, and
whether the yod is a mod or not.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, as far as the text is concerned, as far as the text of the Masoretes had to make the decisions. You see, because ayim and im look the same if you take the vowel points away.
Yeah.
So that's the decision that has to be made there, too.
Does Crete do the same thing?
No, he doesn't have a dual. I don't know of any language that has a dual set. Anybody here?
I thought that Greek did have a dual. It dropped out.
I asked for that.
Oh, it does. It was an ancient one.
I think it was classical.
You might have seen it in
Latin. Or maybe I'm thinking of the
Sanskrit.
No. Maybe thinking of the vocative, but I thought there was a dual.
There was a vocative. I don't remember ever hearing about a dual.
Maybe not. Maybe
it's possible.
I'm confusing with a vocative.
Okay. I'm going to double check that if you're trying to save none, but I've never seen anything as much.
I think in analytical Mexican Greek, it has dual or classical Greek.
That could be. I'm not certain on the classical. There is the word dual, and there is the word dia comes from the idea of two, and there are some interesting things about the idea of two in Greek, and it may be, but as part of the formal distinction, there isn't anything in Koine Greek that would correspond to that. There may be an idea of the ancient Greek in the classical. But I don't know in any modern languages, Spanish, German, there's nothing like that in German, not English. As far as we know, Hebrews are the only thing we've got here. There might be in Sanskrit or Swahili or Arabic. I would expect Arabic. You probably have it. So these Semitic languages are probably, I'm not certain that they would be surprised for them to have it. Okay. But it's essentially a pronunciation. Yes.
So, the vowel points on the regular form of it, it's the difference. When we get down to...
Yeah, the vowel point is the only real difference. And stress, pronunciation of the stress, of course. You get, instead of yadim, it's yadayim, you get the stress before the im. You get actually two syllables there, and the stress before the im. So there's a stress difference, but that, of course, doesn't show up in the script either.
It looks like when you get to the constructs, they're irregular, just like
a... Right. Which
ones are irregular?
Yes. As far as the construct is concerned, to look at a construct, there's no way to really tell whether it's plural or dual unless it happens to have a different base in the plural and the dual form, which some of these appear to have, like Rockley, for example. That might be a case in which, if there is a plural, the plural you would expect to be Wrigley. So, that may, you would be able to tell there. Yeah. But ain't probably would just
talk about a centipede or something.
Yeah, right. Something with many feet. Or a whole army would probably talk about all of their feet or something.
There's animals there.
There's animals with four-footed feet. Okay. So it's just kind of an interesting thing. This dual seems to be not used all the time. In other words, anytime you have two of something, that doesn't mean you're going to necessarily be the dual. We'll just have to keep our eyes open for that, too, to see if there's... It's usually things that occur in pairs by nature, naturally occur in pairs.
So you just learn the dual, you learn the construct that goes with it, and then apply the rules of the plurals to
the
suffixes.
Yeah, as far as the suffixes, it's just the plurals. Yeah, once you've got the construct form of that serial, then you know what happens to the base, then the suffixes follow suit. So you'll just keep that same base and all the suffixes. So aside from things that occur in pairs and then certain expressions of time and measurement that are quite common, like the ones that are given here, I think that's where you're going to see your dual, and you're not likely to see it as just, if there were two houses or something like that. Then houses don't occur in pairs. Okay. So ozen for ear, rego for foot, and then there's a phrase here, ragole, belonging to or in the following of. So the idea is in the foot of, in the feet of, and in the following of, in other words, belonging to, in the steps of, something like that, something following off someone else. Kever is the word for grave or sepulcher, and this is an issue that comes up in the question of what the word. Oftentimes, they'll translate the word sheol as grave in Hebrew in the King James. But there is a word kever for grave. This word means a grave. Or sepulcher. Sheol doesn't mean a grave. It means a place of departed spirit. So you're running with that. IM means I or spring or well. You have two different, completely different meanings. And I don't know if they thought of the spring as an I in the ground or something, you know, or something that's coming forth, or I don't know. I have no idea what the connection is there.
I produced water.
Well, yeah, the spring of the eye, maybe because they were the persecuted people, they were crying all the time. When they saw their eyes, they thought of the water coming out of my nose. That's probably more likely.
From the Song of Solomon, doesn't it say your eyes are as the pools of Heshbon or
something? Right. Okay. Well, maybe they got eye from pool first. The pool was the first one. Okay. So Orion is noon, dual only, it's the only way you see it. Mitzrayim is Egypt, and it says dual also, dual form. The word for Egypt is dual. And this Rima, as we've seen before, to Egypt. And a question about that, it seems to, there was a uniting of the lower and the upper Egypt and so forth, and they may have called it dual because it was the uniting of two nations, as it were. That oftentimes happens. Sometimes there were cities that had the name, Yerushalayim, of course, but others, you know, where the, many of their cities, they were, they had satellite cities, as it were, and they were all, you know, a whole group of cities. Sometimes cities had plural names or dual names, and maybe there's two chief ones, and then they amalgamated or something like that.
Mitzrayim was the son of?
Yes, Mitzrayim was the son of, was one of the sons of Ham. I don't know if he was the direct son or grandson, was in his lineage. So, and that's, of course, where the nation of Egypt apparently came from, is from the son. But that's the Hebrew name for Egypt. Kavar, to bury, verb, makar, to sell, Saraf, to burn, and Darash, to inquire or seek. Those are all nice tri-continental, nice regular old verbs. They want to give you some nice ones because to break the imperfect, you see they're going to make even all imperfect ones. So you give you the imperfect behind. So for Kabar, it's Yipor, and so forth. Makar, Yipor, etc. Okay.
Why did you put it in the parentheses there?
Nothing unusual about them, no. It's just because this, you wouldn't normally see this in a vocabulary. It's just because they're introducing the imperfect here. Here's the first chapter.
What? Giving us a little break.
Yeah, giving you a little break, yeah.
Yeah,
so, well, you should get some of those imperfect in
spot. Oh, right. I guess it even doesn't say it's imperfect.
Yeah, he doesn't say it's imperfect, but this one. So the next chapter, you get
the spot. You don't get anything at all. After that.
Yeah, from then on, it's all on your own, unless there's a real irregularity or something. Okay, and then that verse, Pa'amayim. Let's see. Let's maybe run through these first 10 here. I think we can do that orally. And then we'll go to review. So, just read it and see if you can make any sense out of it. Start with Doug again. Number one.
Okay.
Yisrafu. Yisrafu.
Yisrafu.
For Era.
Kabar.
Just translate it in the future. So, probably put those things in.
Okay. We will burn.
Okay. It's, it should be, they will burn out.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, for food. So your paradigm is on the previous page here. It's going to take a while to get used to it. Yeah. What would we will burn the house be? Because we have a nun there prefix on the first verse of the Torah. That would be Nisro. Nisro. Yes, for food would be they will rise. It's going to take a while to get used to these ones. Okay, it's from Sarah, so yes, for two at Habayat. They will burn the house. Okay, number two, Jim?
Oh, yeah.
We will remember him?
Yes, we will remember him. Yeah, what should he sound like?
Oh,
I'll read it first.
Nizkor Otho.
Yeah, Nizkor Otho. Nizkor Otho. We will remember him. Right, from Zakar. Okay, number three, Tony?
When I
read it first. Yikvaru.
Yes, Yikvaru.
Osanu.
Okay, Yikvaru, Osanu. Yeah, well, kavar comes from, kever comes from the same word, kavar. Kavar means to bury.
Oh.
It's a verb form.
Oh.
Give
me that.
Yeah.
That's why they're
right. Same word, same concept.
So it's they will bury.
Yeah, they will bury who?
Well.
Osano, from way back. Just prep, ask what this pronoun looks like.
They will bury them.
No, I.
No.
They will bury us. It's not like the reverse of Khrushchev, we will bury you. Okay, number four. Yeah, really. Daniel, number four.
King Karna or Kam.
Mm-hmm.
And it means either stay and it's open.
Sell them, right?
Or you, feminine plural,
will sell them. Right, exactly. Either they will sell them, they, feminine plural, will sell them, or you, feminine plural, will sell them, because the form is the same. Or the feminine plural, third person, second person. So either they will sell them, masculine, that is, the them is masculine plural, or you, feminine plural, will sell them. Good. Number five, Bill?
Ed Roche. Kessif.
Mm-hmm.
Either I shall require silver from him, or I shall require silver from us.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Either I will require silver, or I will seek silver, or I will require silver from him, or from us. The men can either be from him or from us. Okay, number six, Eric.
You will say, oh.
Okay,
yeah, you will hear me.
Well, it's shamar is to keep. Shama is to hear, so shamar is to keep. Yeah, you will keep me.
You will keep me.
Yeah. Right. What does the future sound like there? You can read for the fact.
Tishmari.
Right.
Oti.
Yes, Tishmari Oti. Tishmari Oti. You will keep me. And two feminine to hear. Okay, number seven. Right.
Tim Karu. Also,
mm-hmm.
There should be you will sell him or they will sell.
Okay, no, it's just you will sell him. Because they, in the masculine, there's a difference. In the masculine, it would be Yim Karu. Yeah, it would be yours. Yeah, Yim Karu and Tim Karu, you gotta keep those two. Separate. They sound similar, it's just a Chris sound. You gotta watch it. We're used to looking at suffixes, not prefixes. That's why. That's why it's. Okay, number eight, Bob?
Tekrasu, Bereb, Itanu. They will cut a covenant with us.
Okay, well, let's see. This one would be you. You will make a covenant. You will cut a covenant with us. Again, the same thing as Tik. Yeah. Yikrasu would have been, they will. The Tekrasu is, you will. You will make a covenant with us or cut a covenant with us. Right. Number nine, John?
Kick to me.
Mm-hmm.
And his angle.
Right.
You, feminine singular, will write to them.
Okay, or write to us. Maybe it's us. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you got one of them going one direction and one with the other. Okay. Guys, you, feminine singular, will write to us. Okay, and number 10, another brutal one here. Go ahead,
Is gold botan?
Mm-hmm. Yes, he will burn her. Of course, we'll, for the benefit of the doubt, we'll assume that the Ulsah refers to some feminine noun.
Right.
Yeah, it could be easy. As it stands, it's probably he will burn her.
It comes from Jephthah,
isn't it? Yeah.
But then you want to burn, made the battle burn, no, burn his daughter. Jephthah?
Yeah.
Probably. And that's one of the stories.
But whether you run there or not.
Right.
Okay. I don't know if we're quite ready to do part B yet. Let's see. Well, that only took 5 minutes. That's supposed to be good. There's only 6 of them here.
5 minutes
of pizza. Well, I want to start the review here. Let's start the review. If we've got some time tomorrow, we'll do that. But there won't be any assignments for tomorrow because we'll take this tomorrow for review. We'll take a break here and look at review here.
When will the assignment?
I'll probably make the assignment. Let me see now. We got the test on Friday. I'm going to do this.
I guess Thursday we'll do the assignment for Tuesday.
Yeah, see, I just depend on how long this review takes. I don't think it'll take that long. The first 3 chapters will go quickly, and chapter 20 will spend a lot of time on it. Why don't you, probably be best to go ahead and prepare it for tomorrow and just C and D. Don't do anything with B.
For tomorrow?
Yeah, for tomorrow, but we won't get to it tomorrow probably. Actually, let's be realistic. Thursday. Have it ready for Thursday. Because we should be finished with our review for it. But we probably won't finish that for Tuesday. Okay? You can do it as a break between your studies. I need a break on the
computer.
I remember that. I keep it as a 3-year-old daughter. Keep it.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they said. My earlier Hebrew class said to find masochism is taking Hebrew and sadism is teaching it, right?
Bob Don,
okay. The construct singular in lesson 17 then. Lesson 17 is what we've got 17 through 20 for this test. And these first 2 chapters aren't too bad. The first 3 chapters really aren't too bad. Mainly chapter 17 is just looking at minor variations in the construct singular. So these are types that are significant enough, regular enough that you have to pay attention to them.
Mm-hmm.
So you just go through them here. The 2 words av and ach show a suffix here, kyod, in the construct. The regular reduction is stem vowel. So it's avi and achi. And this last chapter we just dealt with, chapter 21. I think we looked at that too with the suffixes, so same kind of thing. Then part B, all nouns in the pattern, of the pattern bayis and mawis show regular contraction in the construct. Ayah becomes serioth and awa becomes form wow. So bayis becomes base and mawis becomes most. So all nouns of these patterns follow that regular construction. So any noun like ayin becomes ain and so forth, it's real consistent, provided that vowel pattern there. Part C, the construct form of bain is commonly proclitic to the following word as ben with machet. And so he gets the goal instead of there. Similar form occurs for shame, but is much less frequent. So it's very frequent with ben, and not so frequent with shame. Okay, a few nouns outwardly identical to the type zakpain have, which is with the construct normally with zakan, have an unusual construct form. These include kasef becomes kethef, and yarek becomes yarek. Gets a cyclic type pattern for the construct, which is interesting. So again, this isn't one you can really count on because it has a few nouns do this. And then nouns ending in questions?
Yeah, regarding this,
they're only giving us, I don't know if they give us any more of these anywhere else.
I don't remember any other ones. And were these words ever in your vocab?
No. I think they were. So they're just something to take note of.
Yeah, just something to take note of here. And I doubt that, I'll have to look at my test again to make sure I didn't give you one of these. I'll try to tell you tomorrow. And whether or not you have to worry about any of these. I don't think, my general policy in writing the test was not to use vocabulary words that weren't in your vocabulary yet. So it's just a matter of noting the grammar, and then when you get vocabulary words that come along, then you'll apply it. So I assume that's what I did, but I'll double check and make sure. The nouns ending in segol hay have construct forms in theri hay. That's kind of an opposite of what you normally expect. In other words, we're going from a segol to a theri in the construct. The construct actually getting longer, at least as far as that vowel is concerned. Now, other vowel changes will be according to this. So sadeh becomes today. Now, you do get the shortening of the fafak, the comments to shua, but the goal becomes teri, today. Machaneh becomes machaneh. And you can't shorten the other two, so the actual get a length in there. Okay, there are quite a few other apparent exceptions to the basic rules given in Lesson 16. None of these, however, is frequent enough to represent a type. Such individual deviations will be noted in the vocabulary when necessary. I might add that because these chapters are dealing with construct, be sure and not forget chapter 16 and what the normal rules were. And if you need to review page 70, section 73, there are those three rules. Unstressed theri and comments replaced by shawa. Comments in the final close syllable replaced by fathak. And theri in the final close syllable usually unchanged and sometimes replaced by fathak. Those are your basic rules on construct formation, which you need to apply to all these chapters. Okay, then, the last two, excuse me, I'm sorry, I'm skipping down here too much. Section 76, construct singular are the feminine nouns in a. This isn't bad. All you do is replace the a by at, atak tau, and then apply the rules that we had in chapter 16. And it's pretty good. So, shana becomes shana. So you replace the comma say with tatak tau, and then the unstressed comments there is going to reduce according to rule 1 to shua, so shana. And eitza becomes ata. Again, because of the guttural, you have to get the tatak there, but same, just rule 1 applied after that. Malka becomes malka. Can't shorten the first syllable. Tilua becomes tilua. Tefila becomes tefila. Beracha becomes bercha, and there's rule of shua in addition to the other, because you would have had two shua in a row. Put that comment in the unstressed over the short. Nevela becomes nevla. Again, the same situation. Okay, now, these last two examples should be clear. I don't need to say any more about that unless there's any questions. Just a matter of rule of shua. Rule 1, prior to reduction, if gave you two shawas in a row, and you apply rule shawa. Now, two types of variations from the norm are common. Number 1, most trisyllabic nouns beginning with close syllable have penultimate stressed construct forms. So here we get a construct that's got a syllable and type of form. And these are the trisyllabic nouns with a close first syllable. Okay? It's just your average run of the mill trisyllabic noun with a close first syllable. And there are quite a few of these, really. So milkama is the one example we have, becomes milkemet, and mishpaka for family becomes mishpaka. Now, one unfortunate thing is that even though they're both segolet patterns, you don't know whether it's going to be patak or segol by looking at it. I mean, how would you know? I mean, those two words, their pattern was identical as far as the absolute was concerned. And how would you know that it's mishpakas instead of mishpeka? And how would you know it's milkemet instead of milkama? You don't. You just have to know what it is. So things like this, they'll usually give that to you in the vocab. He misses on some of them, though, so that's why they usually. And I think he intends to, but sometimes he doesn't do it. Sometimes you go in the back and he doesn't do it either. Sometimes you have to do some hunting. Okay, number 2. Sometimes the expected reduction of theri or comments to shua does not take place. This is by and large unpredictable and requires special notes. It just happens sometimes. Here's one example. Birecha becomes birecha. Birecha, and the theri stays there.
Can you guess in this particular case why it might be the why it might be unusual?
Could you confuse it with another word?
Yes, and in fact, the other word you confuse it with is right up here in the previous column, blessed. Yes. See, if you follow the rules, then beracha and bereka would both become berka in the construct, and there'd be no difference between them. So that's what I suspect is the reason here that we have an irregular form for. It probably took a more common word and make that regular blessing, used more often than pun. So made that the regular one, and then yes, this other one just didn't get the shortening. Tara for distress becomes tara. That's probably also because it's used with another word. I'm not sure what other word it might be. Most feminine nouns ending in as, f, ut, or eat in the absolute are not susceptible for the change in the construct form. That's usually because they've already had quite a bit of shortening with a heavy suffix on them, and the suffix is unchangeable, so they're just not going to get any more changes. Those that are follow the rules. So if they are subject to some other changes, like if the common terms there in an open syllable before that, stress syllable, I should say, they'll follow the rule. So there's nothing much to say about those. They just follow the normal rule, except that the feminine noun already ends in as, f, ut, or e. So instead of getting the connotate change to as, they just keep what they've got, because they've already got a talent here. Okay, then the construct form of Isha is quite irregular. It's Asia. So you just have to learn that one. And that's it as far as chapter 17 is concerned. Mainly just refining singular construct forms and giving more of the detail on it. Okay, any questions or comments or problems? That's just a matter of memorization more than anything else. Okay, lesson 18, construct forms of the plural nouns and meat. So, lesson 18 is just dealing with construct forms of plural nouns, both eem and ope. Not going to be the complication. So, in the construct forms, the form of nouns having plural and eem, this ending is replaced by terio. So, it's just a matter of replacing the ending with terio and then applying vowel reductions according to the rules 1 and 2 in that period. 1, 2, and 3, I guess, 3 over 5. So, you've got yamin becomes yamei, and banim becomes bene, etc., etc. Down there, divarim becomes divrei because of rule of Shawa, in addition to rule of 1. And nothing else to say, I guess. Unless we've got a problem with that. Diasyllabic nouns with penultimate stress, the general type melic, must be singled out for particular attention. Although all these nouns have a common absolute plural pattern, the construct form cannot be attained by normal rules. So these are, again, something you can't always predict in the construct. And of course, we see the dual, that's the same situation too. So, nouns like melech with the goals have papa or hirik in the stem syllable of the plural construct. The correct vowel must be learned with each word. You can't predict it automatically. What's going to be hirik or papa? Following is a list of the words of this group that have been introduced to this point. Hereafter, the characters of vowel cubic of each word will be known in the vocabularies. So they'll give that to you in the vocabulary. Now, the nice thing about the segulus is the plurals are all nice. You can always predict what the plural pattern will be. Shawa papa, shawa kamatsu. But the constructs might either be patak, shawa, or hirik shawa. It just so happens that all the ones we've had so far are patak. So, that's nice. At least in this category, we've had segol types, so all the ones we've had are patak. Now, nouns like safer with the seri in the first syllable have hirik and sometimes segol. And again, you don't know which it's going to be. And from the ones we've had so far, I'm not sure if we've actually had all these or not, but safer we've had, that becomes sifarim in the plural, but sifrei with hirik. And the word for tribes, shevet, becomes shivtei in the construct with hirik. And Aether becomes Ezrei with Segol. Again, no way to predict that. Nouns with a pattern like Shoresh, with Holem, have Kav Katuf. So that's at least if you don't run into too many of these, but if you run into them, at least they're predictable.
Well, that's just
That's just a short form of the old fountain, so.
Now it is that short. It's that the rule of Shawash is sort of.
Well, in effect, yes. Well, see, you've got Shorish, and then becomes Shorashim. You get.
Is that Shorish?
Yeah, because it's Shorashim, yeah, Shorashim.
Okay,
so
it's not really.
Okay. That plural, nobody really predicts the plural there, I suppose. Because you see, normally, Poland doesn't shorten. Then in this particular one, it does shorten. And then Shorshe for the Shabsa. That is Kamakatu.
Okay.
Yeah, Kamakatu. Okay, Peter?
For the test, we should memorize all these rules on up that, like, if we saw any word with an accented seri or a
right.
long, we should notice that it would change.
Right.
Even though it wasn't a word here, we'd be able to apply it to words.
Well, I suppose, yeah, you could generalize that and say, I probably wouldn't give you ones to do that in other words, I would not give you ones that are irregular and you can't predict it, and it wasn't a vocabulary word and so forth. You know,
but of the
vocabulary words that we've had, you should be able to fix and know how to make
so like Bokeh.
Mm-hmm.
Would be
that would be
Borshe.
I'll take a look and when I take a look at the test, I can give you a little bit more points. All right, then there are several nouns of the irregularities in the plural construct which should be noted here. Okay, Rashim becomes Rashay, no reduction. Arim becomes Are, no reduction. And Karim becomes Are, no reduction. That's a major problem there. Construct forms of Shemayim and Mayim are the same, are Shemay and May. Now that we've had this other chapter about dual endings, you know why. Dual is no different than the plural as far as constructs are concerned. And these are both dual forms. Okay, construct forms of plurals in oath, plural nouns in oath. The ending oath remains in the construct form, which is subject to the same rule one of reduction already cited. Here again, if nouns of the type melech, sefer, shorish, or na'ar, or thera, or have plurals in oath, the stem vowel cannot be predicted on the basis of the rule. So you will get the same unpredictability if these segulate pattern nouns, penultimate stress nouns, happen to have oath plural. Most of them have even plural, but some have oath plural. If they have an oath plural, again, the same problem exists. You can't predict what that stem vowel will be. So other than that, though, the oath types are pretty straightforward, and you just keep the oath ending, retain it, no different ending for the construct, but you apply the same rules that you've seen before, which really will only involve rule one of plural like this. But I just mentioned rule one. Why does it involve rule three? Right, exactly. You won't have a final theory or a final comment either. So, because the final is going to be old. Okay, so shame becomes shemos and shemos, rule one. Lay becomes libos in the plural and libos in the construct. Can't do anything more with that. Now, you wouldn't be able to predict what the plural was. Stem, but once you've got the plural, you can predict what the construct is. Nefesh becomes nifashot and nafshot, and this one's unpredictable. Nifashot is predictable, but nafshot, you don't know for sure what the vowel's going to be because of that same problem with the segulus. And the carib, same thing. It's carbol, but you wouldn't necessarily know. It's unpredictable. Soul, yes, right, nefesh, right, yeah, soul. I don't know if we have in the vocabulary or not. Yeah, living soul. And Terev was sore, and then some of these we've had. Eretz, of course, you know, so that becomes our soul. And, let's see what else here. He's worth mentioning. All of those are unpredictable. That one's unpredictable. Orach is unpredictable. Makom is predictable, but it doesn't change. Everything's already short as can get in the plural. Berakha, that's of course straightforward. Sadeh is Sadot in the plural, so it becomes develop the same construct flow. So those are all pretty straightforward, except for that one that you can't get. All right, then the construct flow of a feminine nouns like give a and malka take the same vowels as singular. So give oath and malko. In other words, they go back to the same vowel that they had in singular. That has to do with, if you check section 53, page 48, you'll see that there was a special treatment for those nouns. And in the plural, you didn't really necessarily, you couldn't predict what the vowel was going to do in the plural. But the point of this is that in the construct singular, in the construct plural, excuse me, that vowel will go right back to what it was in singular. So the construct more predictable than the plural is. Construct plural is more predictable than the absolute plural in the singular form. Okay, well, that's pretty good timing. We start with 18. So we'll review 19 and 20 tomorrow. 19 is pretty fast, too. It's just memorization of all the things. And then lesson 20 is slower.
Yeah.
Right. So we've learned all the ones here listed, like Ross and Abad and Yalez and all those that he's given.
Yes, I think you ought to do that. Yeah, as far as what the ones we've had so far, and they all take.
They're irregular.
Yeah, I think you better.
Okay.
And I'll tell you some more for sure tomorrow.
Anything we've had in vocabulary, though.
Right.
Responsible for.
Right. And then the grammatical rules, beyond that, you're responsible for. In other words, I will be able to expect you, that I could give you a word you've never seen before. You could follow the regular rule, and you would be able to figure out what the construct for it was. But I wouldn't give you a word you've never seen before that has an irregularity and expect you to know the irregularity. In other words, if I give you a word you've never seen before, and I don't tell you ahead of time, so we're just regular. Okay. I don't expect you to know the irregularity. Yeah, you can't predict whether it's going to be simple or possible. See, this one is Milchama, this is Mishpacha, and they both got the exact same pattern in the absolute. In the construct, this one's got the goal.
That's not what
could
be like.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't really know.
Sometimes I think the Lord's pleased.
added four back?
Yeah, I got it now.
Yeah. I only got, what, about a week left?
This week and next. Yeah. Yeah, I could have moved it up a week. Maybe I should have. But I
didn't. Didn't want to execute that, huh?
No, I did want to, but, you know, everything else involved. The other brothers